Penguin Random House Audio presents You Deserve Better, What Life Has Taught Me About Love, Relationships, and Becoming Your Best Self. This is the author, Tyler Cameron. This book is dedicated to my mama. I spelled it wrong since 7th grade, but you'll always be my mama. M-O-M-M-A. As I sit down to write this dedication, it's one day before the 1-year anniversary of your accident. Since you've passed away, our lives have changed drastically. It's been a year of growth. It's been a year of pain. It's been a year of joy as well. It's been very humbling. Without all you've done the past 27 years, and even this last year, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing today. This is dedicated to you for giving me, Austin, and Ryan, and everyone in your life your all. If all of us could be half as loving as you were, the world would be a much better place. Love you, and see you on the other side. Prologue, April 2017. Holy shit, how did I end up here? I'm somewhere in the middle of West Texas, miles from anyone or anything. For hours, I've just been driving with no real destination while my dad sleeps in the passenger seat next to me. Around us, there's nothing but desert, just sand and sky for as far as I can see. I can't believe how much things can change in 24 hours. Yesterday, I was strapping up my helmet and pads and hitting my last practice before the final game of the Spring League. Everything seemed fine with my girlfriend Mariah. All I needed was one more good game to receive an invite for the start of the NFL training camp. Then, during my first play of the last game, I dislocated my left shoulder, my good shoulder. It started out okay. I caught the ball, I hit the cornerback, I got the yardage, but then some dude came around the side of me and slung me down to the ground. When I fell, I landed on my shoulder and it popped right out of place. I'd had injuries before, but never like this. At such a critical moment, in an instant, my football career, the thing I had dedicated so much of my life and energy to, was over. My dad had been sick but came to Austin to come see me play. As soon as the game wrapped, Pop looked at me sulking off the field and said, "Let's drive." We both knew my hopes of an NFL career were over, and just like that, we hit the road. That's how I came to find myself here, wherever here even is. I can barely lift my arm over the steering wheel. But by this point in my life, I've had so many shoulder issues because of football injuries that I barely notice the pain. I was raised according to my pop's philosophy. You go to the hospital when you're dying. I can tell this shoulder injury isn't good, but it isn't an emergency. So for better or worse, I'm not going to pay it much mind. My dad is making me do most of the driving. He's had some health issues in recent years, so he can't move around well. And he isn't much for driving anyway. He slept most of the way since we left Austin, so I've been alone in my thoughts for a few hundred miles. I think about football, about my relationship, about my future, which in this moment feels like it's over before it's even begun. I think of all the ways I've messed up. I've rarely had cell service, but when I do, I try to call Mariah. She doesn't answer. I can't process that our relationship might be over too. I drive west for hours, until we find a place we can spend the night. It's not much of a town, really. Just a tiny hotel and a gas station surrounded by miles of nothing. In the hotel room, on an uncomfortable bed, I don't sleep much. I wake up feeling defeated about my arm, about my relationship, about my football career being over. Up until this point, my whole identity, my whole life really, has been defined by football. My high school and college experiences, the friends I kept, the way I spent my free time, all of it orbited around football. For as long as I can remember, I've always been TC the quarterback or TC the star athlete. If I don't have that anymore, then who the hell am I? I head out to the hotel parking lot and sit down on one of those little bumpers they put at the end of a parking spot. As I'm sitting there, waiting for my dad to finish getting ready, Mariah calls me on FaceTime. She hasn't spoken to me at all since the game, ignoring my texts and calls for more than a day. Knowing something is wrong as I pick up my phone, I brace myself for a hard conversation. But when I see her face on the screen, I can tell it's worse than I thought. "Tyler, I can't do this anymore." It's the first thing she says. I'm speechless. "You're not being a good boyfriend." I try to think of a way to respond, but I'm so tired from the drive and a horrible night's sleep, and I'm so upset about my shoulder that I just stay quiet. The simple truth is, she's right. I'm not, and I know it. For a long time leading up to this, I've been a terrible boyfriend to her. I've been immature, and I haven't dedicated myself to the relationship in the same way she has. For the last few months, I've been treating her wrong, talking shit to my buddies about our relationship, looking at other girls on social media, not putting energy into her or giving support. She deserves so much better than what I've been giving. And yet, this moment still comes as a shock, a devastating one. She dumps me right there on FaceTime while I'm sitting on the ground in a parking lot in the middle of nowhere. When I hang up the phone, I feel like I've been beaten up, now emotionally as well as physically. I look up at the little two-story hotel where we were staying and feel a knot rising in my throat. All I want is to go home and go to bed, to put a blanket over my head and never come out. But instead, I'm stuck driving through the middle of Texas with my dad on a road trip to absolutely nowhere. When we get into the car, I tell him what happened. He starts to laugh. "Well, you got me beat, son," he says. "The Dolphins cut me on a Wednesday, and my girlfriend cut me on a Friday. At least I had 2 days to recover, but you got hurt and then dumped the very next morning." I've heard this story before, but now it hits home a little more than it used to. The parallel is so striking. I can see why he's laughing. After a few miles on the highway, my dad falls asleep, again, and stays that way for most of the drive. From Austin, where we started our trip, it takes us 9 hours to get out of Texas. I spend most of the time trapped in my own head. How can I get Mariah back? Where did it go wrong? Who am I if I can't play football? How did I get here? What the hell am I going to do with my life? I get deeper and deeper in my thoughts. As we drive farther and farther west, I am more miserable than I've ever been. Our first stop outside Texas is White Sands, New Mexico. I put on a brave face. I take pictures and post them on my social media, trying to pretend everything is okay. But the truth is, I'm completely heartbroken. I need advice on how to move forward. My dad and I don't talk much about relationships, this one with Mariah included. I'm the oldest of three brothers, and since my dad and I don't usually get too deep in our conversations, I've never had a built-in role model to ask these kinds of questions. From a young age, I learned to keep my feelings to myself and figure things out on my own. We drive across New Mexico, through Arizona, all across the Southwest. It's the ideal road trip. The drive through this part of the country is gorgeous, but I'm not able to enjoy myself. The landscape is beautiful, some of the most stunning scenes you could imagine, but it's like I can't really see it. My mind isn't there. Every night, I call Mariah and beg her to talk to me, to take me back, to give me another chance. Every night, she says, "No, Tyler, I can't." It goes on this way for a week. Finally, my dad and I arrive in Utah. I've already been here. I had visited once the year before. On both occasions, the scenery takes my breath away. The bright rock formations belong more on Mars than on Earth. And the sky is just so big. My dad hasn't been anywhere out west before. So the whole trip, I've been telling him, "We gotta go here. You gotta see this. You're not going to believe it." Our final stop is Zion National Park, which might be the most beautiful place in the country. At least, it's the most stunning place I've ever seen. I come from Florida, which is beautiful in its own way, but it's nothing but flat, completely flat. The closest thing we've got to a mountain is a garbage dump. You've got your blue waters and your green trees. Its beaches are the best in the world, but it's truly nothing compared to the awe-striking beauty in the West. The whole landscape is so bright and clear, and the scale is absolutely massive. There are mountain faces bigger than whole cities and wide-open skies. You've got your blues and greens, but you've also got your reds and oranges, and every color in between. It's breathtaking, like nothing else I've ever seen in my life. Once we get into the park, my dad hangs back on the ground while I decide to hike Angel's Landing, which is considered to be one of the hardest hikes in America. With a really steep drop-off, it's also one of the scariest. Now is as good a time as any to mention that I'm deathly afraid of heights. I'm the biggest wimp. I can't handle them at all. But the scenery is so captivating and beautiful that I can't resist the promise of the view from the very top. To be fair, it's more out of ignorance than bravery that I decide to hike it. At this point, I don't fully realize how high this route will take us or how narrow the path becomes in some places. Something else I don't know yet? This is about to be one of the most pivotal moments of my life. I hadn't understood how steep this hike would be, but once I start climbing, it's too late to go back. For a lot of the time, there's no real trail, which makes it even scarier. With every step I take, I'm more anxious about how high up I am. I'm profusely sweating. I'm breaking out in hives. Every few seconds, I think, "I can't do this. I should turn around. I have to go back." But the higher up I get, the more incredible the view becomes. And so, maybe foolishly,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?